Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, we tell the strange and slightly unnerving tale
of one man's month-long exploration into the music of Kate Bush and Funkadelic. So, Patrick, we had so much fun yesterday with Tug, right?
Tug Baker.
Tug Baker.
Yep.
Good guy. Good man.
Good man.
Why don't we talk to him again?
Let's do it.
All right. Tug, you there?
I'm here. I'm right here.
Hey.
Like, wow. I never went anywhere.
Hey.
Wow, he's so excited.
Yeah,
this is great.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
This is great. So, if you didn't listen yesterday, you should go back and listen to yesterday's, but we'll fill you in real quickly here, which is Tug is a friend of ours. He lives in South Carolina. We have him on via Skype.
Mm-hmm. He's an Eric Clapton tribute band.
Yesterday, he talked about his Eric Clapton tribute band. That's right.
It's not it.
Go back and find out what he really talked about, but
I do love the end of Layla so much. The piano
is fantastic.
I love it, man.
That's the best part of the song.
Yeah,
that song
is kind of drifts
off into the distance.
The coda is better than the main part of the song. Yeah,
there was this really cool Mastercraft remix of an Usher song, and it ended by playing the piano bit from Layla.
Oh,
and
really?
It's one of my favorite things ever.
That's very cool. That's just the end of everything, man. It's the end of it's walking out of every great rock concert of all time, right? That piano riff.
That's right. That's right. It works great in movies and things like that too. Yeah. It's just that's
Kate
like a
Hudson's
perfect little piece of music
by herself. Yeah.
Okay, so what were we talking about? Oh yeah, Tug.
That's right.
First of all, I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
You're listening to Rock in the Suburbs, and Tug is going to talk to us today. I find this fascinating. This is nothing but ratings on this episode right here, because this is a crazy thing he does.
Yep. It's sweeps week.
You do a musical kind of like personal listening project every January, right?
Is it a cleanse?
It's kind of a cleanse. Yeah, like some people stop drinking in January. Yeah. I stop listening to new music. That's what I do every January.
And what do you call this?
I call it my No New Music Deep Dive January.
Okay. And how long have you been doing this?
I've probably been doing this probably about 5 years now, wow. 5-6 years.
Okay. So explain what it is.
So basically, like you guys, I've been listening to the show. I know you guys have been a little obsessed with your 2016 best of list.
Yeah.
I am the same way. I completely obsessed over reading other people's lists and making my own list, and you know, my own list that I was obsessing about up till, you know, weeks after January, you know, I was already into, you know, into 2017. I was still obsessing about my list and whether I wanted to put Beyonce or Solange higher. And I ended up giving them a tie. Is what
nice.
I did. But nobody sees that list. Nobody's going to know anything about that list, but I spent so much time on it. And I'm sure you guys are kind of the same. So
Can we post the list on our suburbspod.com?
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
All right, there you go. Check that out.
I may obsess about it for just a couple more days, and then yeah, sure.
All right, so we'll do that. But anyway,
perfect.
So continue.
But yeah, so I, you know, when Friday rolls around, used to be, you know, New Music Tuesday, but now it's New Music Friday. When Friday rolls around, I kind of look and see what albums have come out, check a couple of review sites that I like, and see what sounds interesting, and I queue it up, and you know, get around to listening to it when I get around to listening to it, and it's a bit exhausting. I'm sure it's you know, I always have more music that I want to listen to than I have time to listen to. So January is usually pretty slow for new music. There's not a lot coming out. So I've found it to be a really good time to pick an artist that I may like or may know nothing about, or maybe, you know, actually a really big fan of already, but to do a very, what I call my deep dive, where I start at album number one and go through. Usually it's somebody that I know some of their work, but I've never really sat down and listened to everything. And so I take that opportunity to do that. Past ones have been Pavement, the Rolling Stones, you know, some of those from a while back. Different things like that. But this year, I had some good ones. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
So it's kind of like watching like all of The Wire.
It is the Netflix binge of music, definitely.
And these are
and the nice thing is, you know, all these streaming services kind of make it where you can do that. It's not like I have to go out and buy 15 right. albums to catch up with someone's, you know, entire career. The first band that I did this year was inspired by a late 2016 album, the Childish Gambino album that came out, Waken My Love.
Right.
It's number one, like shot immediately super high up on my list of best albums of 2016. And I was very confused by, there was a lot of like, this guy's just ripping off Funkadelic in a lot of the reviews. And yeah. I didn't really find that at all. I kind of felt he was just, you know, taking inspiration like a lot of people do and, you know, putting it in new places. So I said, you know what, like on my list, Funkadelic, like I really could do with some listening to that. So I started at the beginning of Funkadelic and went through
that. Well, that's a pretty interesting pick too, yeah. because I think a lot of people just blend Parliament and Funkadelic into one band, right? But you're specifically going to the Funkadelic records.
I was like, you know, I could make myself insane and, you know, like try and figure out, well, this Parliament record and then this. And but I think it may have just been, that was the first one that I typed into Spotify and said, you know, go, all right, let's start. And yeah, I went with it, and went through, and it was a lot of fun. It was really cool.
Okay. So just tell us real quickly, what did you learn? A couple of bullet points here. What did you learn about Funkadelic?
You know, and this is another, I guess, like, it's maybe a problem with my system, but I don't really like try and look up a bunch of stuff about it. I just kind of like try to let the music speak for itself.
Right.
And what I learned is that they did everything. They kind of, you know, their songs went all over the place and sometimes within a song. Maggot Brain, for instance, is one of those songs that I feel I guarantee you every single person listening to this podcast right now has heard it, but they may not know that it is the song Maggot Brain from Funkadelic. I think that guitar riff is pretty, everybody has it kind of in their DNA, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
And it was certainly one for me that I, you know, I knew it, but when it hit, it's like, oh yeah, God, this is it's so good. It's so good. I also really, really enjoyed, Can You Get to That?
Like, I was just about to say, that's one of my favorite songs on that record, right? Like, Can You Get to That? Right?
Yeah, it's got that
bass line. Yeah. It's almost like the Statler Brothers doing like some crazy Detroit funk space music with the MC5. It's amazing.
Right. And it's this really, it's this huge departure from what they normally do with it, because it's got that acoustic riff that I think Sleigh Bells ended up using that maybe somewhere. Like, you know, it's kind of, it gets referenced a lot, I feel like. But yeah, it's such a good song. And right. and all their songs are really, there's a lot of like really feel good stuff. I guess I expected more like, There are a lot of sex songs. I will go ahead and put them right out. But I forgot how many, like, you know, hey, let's all get together and let's all, you know.
So there's a little Sly and the Family Stone kind of influence, you know, Sideways, it's, right? But also songs like Funky Dollar Bill, which are kind of commenting on the economy, and Super Stupid, like, which is kind of a proto, I don't know, put down song. But yeah, what an incredible band.
Yeah, they were, you know, they were everything at the same time. They were a party band.
Yeah.
They were a political band. You know, they were a drug band. You know, they were all these things all at the same time. They kind of, you know, really personified the 70s in a lot of ways, I feel like.
Yeah, totally great. Well, what a great way to spend January.
All right. That's awesome. Okay. So we're going to take a little break here.
Sure.
Going to hear a little commercial message.
Yeah.
And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk with Tug about another artist. He took a deep dive into music in January. Hey, Patrick, how do you get your podcasts?
I usually get them on my telephone.
Telephone, like somebody calls you?
That's right. I call the podcast hotline and subscribe to them that way.
Okay, so most people don't have a landline or a flip phone like you. They have a smartphone, and so they go to iTunes or Audio Boom, and they can subscribe to the show.
Smart.
And that way they just automatically get the show on their phone.
Smartphone.
Right?
Yep.
And if you please would do that for Rock in the Suburbs, that would help us out immensely. Yes. And then the other thing you can do, dear listeners, that would really help us out would be to rate and review the show. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you like it because you're listening to it. So you would give us a high rating. There's like up to 5 stars, but you should give us 6.
Yep.
And then review it, where you actually, like, you know, craft in your own words what you think of the show.
I write reviews really well when I'm having a grilled cheese sandwich. Right. So I'd recommend making a grilled cheese, reviewing the show. That's an evening.
All right. That sounds good. So do that. Take Patrick's advice. Do that.
Perfect.
Okay. And we're back in the basement. We got Tug on the line.
Here we are. It's so dark in here.
Did you say you got a Tug on the line?
We have Tug. Is that your real name?
I'll never tell.
Tugasian, I believe, was his given name.
that would be the only thing that could make it weirder.
It's an old Welsh name, Jim.
So, Tug, you were talking about how every January you do a deep dive into an artist that you maybe want to learn more about, and you don't listen to any new music, and so you cut yourself off from the outside world. You live in a windowless house, right? You spend like a month
exactly.
Like a shack, right?
let me tell you, this year it was really hard not to listen to that new Run the Jewels record. Like, it came out right at the end. Oh, so hard not to listen to it. But I was like, nope, it's January. I'm very disciplined on this.
That's right. It's very tantric.
Yeah, it's something like that.
And we talked about Funkadelic, but who was the other artist that you listen to a lot in January then?
Other artist that I went to this year is Kate Bush. She's somebody who I've definitely listened to Hounds of Love before and The Sensual World. You know, those are her kind of classic albums, and I've heard them again, never like, you know, probably sat down start to finish, more like heard songs here and there. And she had been on my mind for a while because this great TV show called You're the Worst. And at the end of the first season, one of the characters sings this woman's work, and like at a karaoke type thing. I should be crying, but I just can't let it show. I should be hoping, but I can't stop thinking of all the things I should have said that I never said. All the things I should have done that we never did. All the things I should have given but I didn't. Oh, darling, make it go. Make it go away. And ever since, like, God, I forgot what a great song that is. You know, Kate Bush is somebody, and I have friends who are obsessed with her, and they went to, like, the London shows a few years back and paid however much for tickets for that.
Right.
And I was like, okay, this is somebody I need to spend more time on. I really need to, again, start from the beginning and go through and kind of see the evolution. Normally, just like if you hear a couple of the songs, she really does warrant a listen to albums, I feel like.
I think Kate Bush has gotten a lot of, you know, love lately from people like St. Vincent, other artists who have really, you know, expressed their appreciation for what she did and name checked her.
A lot of people have been giving her love lately. You guys know I really enjoy Y-Oak and yep. A lot of their stuff on their album from this year kind of reminded me of little snippets that I had heard of Kate Bush.
Yep.
So that was another totally. Thing that made me want to go back. And I've kind of found, you know, yeah, Hounds of Love is pretty much perfect start to finish. The Sensual World also like really great. But then there's some of her other albums that I'm just totally obsessed with now. Her 1980 album, Never Forever, and that's not Never Forever. It's Never
Forever.
Forever being two separate words.
That's right.
And it's such a cool little all
it is
over
a great the place. Record.
There's a lot of neat stuff going on with it. It's got there's songs like Violin, which is probably the closest that she gets to a straight up awesome rocker of a song. Yeah, and then there's also this, and I think this is kind of coming off the tail end of the British pop 70s, where it's all so kind of nerdy and dorky. There's a lot of a lot of piccolo flutes and a lot of, you know, I feel like everybody was reading Tolkien and smoking some good stuff and kind of you know, there's a lot of whimsy to her, which right. I think. This album, I think the Never Forever, I think does a really good, balance of a lot of cool new, like the '80s are coming with like synths and things like that. But then also this really like fun, like whimsy and a little like folk influence that I really like.
Do you start to plan your next January now?
Huh. Oh yeah. There's already stuff getting written down. I had a friend of mine, suggest a Rod Stewart look back and start with Small Faces. And
yeah,
we'll see if he makes it to 2018.
Yeah, he does. Super Tramp,
always Super Tramp.
All right,
that's just the beginning of every year.
All right, thanks, man. This has been great. So, please, Tug and listeners, listen to Rock in the Suburbs
every day.
Also, yeah. Find us at suburbspod.com, and you can hear the show there or on iTunes or Audio Boom or Stitcher. You can email us, rock@suburbspod.com. You can find us on social media, Facebook and Twitter, at suburbspod. And also, you can call us. The number is 612-440.
1984.
There you go. Call that number. All right, Tug Baker, thanks very much. How can people find you?
Oh, you know, I'm out and around. I'm on Twitter, Tug3000. That's right. Me. You can tweet at me.
Cool.
I might have it on my phone still.
All right, will you come on again sometime?
Oh, definitely.
All right, so thanks very much. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Thanks again, Tug. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
So wonderful, a miracle. Oh, it was beautiful, magical, and all.
And before you know it, you're endorsing the Russians. After Jim's done the editing. Yeah. Controversial rock in the suburbs.
That's right. Comrade Baker.